Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, why not? 257. Carton and Roberts. WFAN, New York City, baby.
Put the lotion in the basket or else it gets the hose again.
A lot of Mets and Jets coming up. Woody Johnson came out from whatever rock he was hiding under, but I think he did it by mistake. And, of course, only the New York Jets would have their Humanitarian of the Year Award nominee be a guy that is no longer on the roster. Can't get really. Sometimes you just can't get anything right. Even when you're trying to get things right. Sometimes you. Like, don't you think before that got announced, the Jets should have said to the NFL, hang tight. The guy we put up, we nominated, we cut him a month ago. We have a lot of other guys here that do great, you know, community work, charity work.
Yeah.
Let us nominate someone else.
Yeah.
But no, they did not. So we'll see if Woody Johnson's alive and now active with the Jets. You know, I reached out to him via Twitter. That's my new thing. And nothing thus far.
Well, Woody Johnson hadn't tweeted about the New York Jets in 5 years, which makes sense. You know, he was the ambassador to the UK, separating himself from football. He hadn't tweeted about football in forever, and his first accidental Jets tweet, whatever you want to call it, is to just how embarrassing the organization is, and it's basically, hopefully it's code for he's selling the team.
By the way, the slow motion video of the box break box hitting you in the chest and sending you flying.
Yes.
Is now up on Twitter.
How do you spell slow-mo? S-L-O-W-M-O?
I think it's S-L-O hyphen M-O.
Oh, you do a hyphen?
You do hyphen, yeah. Right. There's a definite hyphen in that.
All right, I'm doing it.
So just check it out. It's it really knocks you back a couple feet.
Did I catch it?
You did catch it. You made the play.
It's a great catch because I bobbled it, but I ended up having full control over it.
You made the play, and at the end of the day, all people are going to remember is, did Evan make the play or not?
Yeah.
You made the play.
And I made the play.
And I wish they could make it even slower. You know, if they could slow it down even more, that'd be great.
You know what
I'm
noticing?
Put some sound effects in, like, whoa.
I don't mean to compliment myself even more here, but I had to push the microphone stand out of the way to then get in position to make the catch. So there was a lot going on that play.
I'd say you are quite, you've had a very athletic week.
Yes.
You really have. This has been a very big week for Evan athletically. Here's Charlie in Staten Island. Charlie, what do you got?
How you doing? I love the show.
Thank you.
I have a bone to pick with Greg.
Okay.
And I have an offer for Evan.
Yes.
Hopefully he'll give me the time.
Okay.
All right, Greg. First of all, not for nothing. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm going Sunday to get my bobblehead.
Are you driving or training or walking? What? How are you getting there?
I'm driving.
Walking.
Okay, you're driving. What? We lost him there?
Oh.
I did not hang up on him, but we lost him. But we do have somebody on the hotline right now who I have not had the privilege of talking to in several years. My fault. No, nobody else's. I wasn't around. But my main man, fellow Syracuse graduate, broadcaster, Hall of Fame. What else did he tell me to say about him? Oh, Mr. Bob Casas. Bobby, how you been? It's Craig and Evan. How are you?
Craig, how you doing? Hello, Evan. I'm on the treadmill. That's the little hum that you hear in the background. I figured you wouldn't want me to break my regimen for this little visit, but I slowed to a brisk walk rather than a trot.
What are you, like at a 2.5 pace right now?
No, actually, 3.5 at an incline of 10.
Wow. That's athleticism right
there.
Listen,
and I do not want you to break your ritual for us, for sure.
I'm trying to work toward where I won't get winded taking out the garbage.
God, listen, right? We're all at that stage. At some point, see, that's my point to Evan. It doesn't matter who you are, what kind of money you made, the accolades, the awards. In the Costas household, Bob's taking out the garbage. I love that.
True.
I love that. And before I get to the whole stuff that happened with you this week, what does Bob Costas do 5 days a week to stay sharp, to stay busy? I know you've cut down a lot on the broadcasting, but what do you do all day?
Well, you know, I'm still able, from kind of a small home studio, I'm still able to do a lot of stuff for the MLB Network.
Yep.
Occasional stuff for CNN or other people that ask me to be on, charity stuff and whatnot. And certainly have way more time to read and check up on stuff, and especially the baseball stuff. I try to stay as current with it as I possibly can. And, you know, your biggest, and I've said this from the start, some of us are lucky enough that all we have to do is adjust. Other people in one way or another are trying to survive. So on the worst day of this for any of us, you know, it may be monotonous. We may be yearning to get back to our regular routine. But the worst of this is a whole lot better than what some people have to face, and I'm thankful for that.
Bob, I have to ask you a very important question. All right, this is going to change my view on everything because I'm a 37-year-old man, but I'm old school. Okay, I'm an old school baseball
fan.
Here
comes the DH question.
You're damn right it's the DH question. You're going to sit there and you're going to listen to it. Bob, I feel like this is a battle I've lost as a 37-year-old. Everybody wants the universal DH, but there are certain few out there who I still cling to because they stay firm that, no, I don't want the universal designated hitter. I've lost Howie Rose, all right, the great broadcaster of the Mets. I've lost him. He's all in on the inter. He wants the DH, and that hurt me. But nothing would hurt me more than losing you. So, Mr. Costas, are you still anti-bringing the DH to the National League?
Yeah, I am. Oh. So that should make you feel better. Oh. But I know it's a losing battle. And what annoys me, before I give you my reasons,
yes,
people like to be able to categorize people. And so I'm always a purist or a traditionalist, even though if they've been listening, they know through the years, I have specific reasons for how I feel. It's not a knee-jerk traditionalist thing. And there are many things that are non-traditional, non-purist that I'm okay with or even advocate. The reason why I like the DH in the National League is that I like the difference between the leagues. I even like the little strategic wrinkles in the World Series.
That's right.
Where you have to adapt depending upon what ballpark you're in. But I know that it's coming for two reasons. The teams themselves have a concern in the American League about pitchers batting in interleague games or if they get to the World Series, and especially running the bases. They got a whole lot of money tied up in these players, and there have been pitcher injuries in interleague games. Also, it's an important bargaining chip. There's going to be a contentious set of negotiations under unexpected COVID conditions coming up in the next year. And one thing they can offer the Players Association is universal DH, because as you know, the DH is, generally speaking, a high-paid player. That and maybe another roster spot, not the COVID roster where they had to have expanded a little, but under expected eventual normal conditions, have a 26th, 27th player, whatever it might be, and universal DH. That's an important bargaining chip. So I know it's coming, but I will miss the National League style.
Thank you.
Talking to Bob Costas, who out of the blue, no fault of his own, became big news this week when all of a sudden the real Bob Costas showed up on Twitter, enlisted Emmy Awards and accolades, and 15,000 people signed up to see what Bobby had to say. And then I see a note from you. I guess you went on with maybe Rich Eisen, or I didn't see the initial one. And you said, hell hath not frozen over yet. I'm still not on Twitter, right?
Correct. And then he asked me what would likely happen and what would I likely do before I was on Twitter. And I thought, well, binge watch the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Right.
Hire Rudy Giuliani as my personal attorney, etc. Many things would have to happen before I got anywhere near Twitter. But luckily, my son Keith was on the case almost immediately, and he seldom tweets, but he does have a Twitter account.
Right.
And he put out, look, unless he's undergone some sort of extreme personality change overnight, I'm pretty sure this isn't my dad.
Right. And apparently they got the Emmy Award number incorrect as well, right? They shortchanged you one or two?
What an outrage.
that's what threw it off.
As I said to Eisen, look, if you're going to pull a scam, you might as well get your ducks in a row to make it credible. Don't make obvious factual mistakes.
Right. I would say this, though. It must, at some level, even though it's kind of intrusive and yucky that some guy would go out there and do that, whatever, there has to be some part of you that says, it's nice to know people still give a damn about Bob Costas and what I have to say. No?
I wasn't losing sleep wondering about it, but yeah, I guess you're right. But it also shows, if you want to take this little tiny grain of sand on the beach, which each of us individually are, and kind of expand it into what it means in a bigger sense, it shows how easy it is.
Oh, yeah.
And this is all around us. How easy it is for misinformation and nonsense to be accepted by people. It wasn't just that a bunch of people signed up. Thank you for that. But some of those people were in sports media, and they bought it right away.
Yep.
And then had to backtrack. Now, think of what that means, and you see it play out all the time, where people aren't just uninformed like they used to be, but they're aggressively misinformed about politics, aggressively and angrily misinformed. Well, I saw it somewhere. The president of the United States, for the last 3-4 years, has been saying, many people are saying, or I saw somewhere, where he saw it comment number 23
right
after something on a blog, or he saw it on some tweet someplace. This is insane.
No, yeah, and we take everything as fact because, I read it. It must be factual. Before I let you go, and I don't want to interrupt the entire workout today, I made the comment to Evan, and Evan, I think, is an old man at heart as a baseball fan and purist.
Yes,
much different than I am as a fan of the sport. But I said to Evan that there will come a day years from now when we look back on this COVID year of sport and recognize that Rob Manfred did a terrific job in keeping the sport together and making sure it did have a credible World Series and a World Series champion. And for the things that people do knock about him, you know, the kind of nitpicky things, I do think we'll look back maybe 5-10 years from now and recognize that Rob Manfred did a very good job as a commissioner of this sport.
I agree with that. And not as a houseman, just because I happen to work for MLB Network. Anybody who's followed me knows that I tend to have an independent point of view. It's not a crazy shoot from the hip point of view, but I have my own takes on things, and it doesn't matter as much as I love baseball, whether I feel I should criticize it or whatever the case may be. And I honestly do feel that while Manfred may have had some missteps, any commissioner does over a long tenure, I thought that this year baseball overall, and he has to get a lot of credit for it, did a good job navigating a very tricky road. A lot of us had our fingers crossed. We wanted them to get through, but we thought, boy, there's so many needles to thread. And to mix metaphors, they hit a few speed bumps, the Marlins, the Cardinals. They hit a few speed bumps, but they never wound up driving into a ditch. And they got all the way through. And it was interesting. It was different, but the postseason was interesting. And they deserve credit for that. They navigated it pretty darn well under very difficult circumstances.
And would you agree, because this is the way I feel about it, and I wasn't around for 1981, but to me, the L.A. Dodgers won the World Series in 1981, even though it was a funky regular season because of a work stoppage. This was legitimate. Do you feel that way? We crowned a legitimate champion, and years from now, we'll look back at 2020 and say, yeah, the Dodgers beat the Rays in the World Series.
Yeah, legitimate on its own terms, especially because the Dodgers, by any reasonable assessment, would have been a likely champion or World Series participant in a full season. Of course, the difference between this and 1981 was that they were able to resume. They played a much larger portion of a full schedule. And when they played the World Series, the Dodgers and the Yankees, there were fans, packed houses at Dodger Stadium, packed houses at Yankee Stadium. So it felt different, but look, every circumstance is different. People accept it. If you do the best you can under the given circumstances, you play the hand you're dealt, that's all you can do. So I think people will understand that.
Bob, good talking to you. It's been a long time. I'm glad you're healthy and you're vibrant and you're treadmilling. And when it makes sense to leave the apartment and, you know, see other people and socialize and get out, we look forward to seeing you in person. And best to your family.
All right, guys, you too. Happy virtual holidays.
There you go. All right, Bob Costas right here on WFAN.
One thing that the commissioner has to do, and this has nothing to do with my opinion on the designated hitter, right? It's irrelevant, is I don't think it's fair to tell general managers and owners, play under the idea that we're not going to have a DH in the National League when there's a good chance that's going to change before the season starts. That's ridiculous. That's like telling NBA GMs, and I know this is an extreme, we may have a three-point line, we may not. No. Every general manager, when they build a baseball team, needs to know what the rules are. And I'm worried that, and again, has nothing to do with my view on the rule. Okay, doesn't matter. That now they're saying there'll be no DH, but at the last second, they'll make a bargaining move that will allow the DH. And that's a problem because it's not right and it's not fair.
No, if you're building a team, you got to know, listen, take Luke Voit. Take Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Right? Guys that might be, depending on what team is looking at them, nothing but a DH.
It affects the Mets. Look at the way the Mets are built.
That's
so
right.
If Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball is saying, look, there won't be a DH in 2021, they better stand by that because that's wrong. That cannot change in the middle of March. And I'm worried, based on the track record of Major League Baseball, that it will. And again, has nothing to do with my view on the rule. All I want is consistency.
Harry's in Stamford, Connecticut. Harry, what do you got today, buddy?
Hey, guys. You know, you've been talking about sports radio cliches. I don't know if you've gone over this, but the number one cliche that bothers me is, you know, when they go, oh, the bottom line is, or, you know, here's the bottom line.
Bottom line is one. If I hear bottom line, it's a dollar in the chip jar.
All
that's
right. Fair enough.
Yeah, okay.
Good. All right. So I'm starting to think that Steve Cohen doesn't want to win. He just wants to goof around on Twitter. This guy is a fraud. We already know he has the fraudulent business practices.
Then yesterday,
he lies to the whole world on Twitter saying he doesn't know who Craig Carton is, but he follows the Carton and Roberts show on Twitter. Craig's name is in the show.
Well, I would say this.
And then he promises us 2 out of 4 big free agents. The only moves we have made so far is negotiating with the catcher, who's a career 250 batting average. And we signed a couple middle-of-the-road pitchers named Trevor, whose last name is not Bauer. Steve Cohen has lied to Mets fans. He just wants to goof around on Twitter.
Well, I would say that there's some people feel that way now.
No.
I think that will be disproven when it's all said and done somewhat. But this is what I said to you, I think, on Monday, Evan.
Yes.
When you put out some of the tweets that Steve Cohen has put out, namely the good news, bad news one.
Yep.
As a standalone entity, that does drive some people bonkers because you're building them up and you're toying with them. We discussed it on Monday. That is a very thin line.
I get it.
And slippery slope.
I get it. But
unless you sign, you know, the guys a week from now, 2 weeks from now.
I have a problem with the way our last caller represented things. And I want to donate a dollar by saying, because here's the bottom line, as I miss the shot with my dollar. I have a box here that says sports cliches.
Yeah, let me put that dollar in for you.
Good.
You
here's the bottom line.
That's
James,
another one.
Oh, that's $2.
That's another one. Another dollar.
I thought that first one.
Every time you say it, it goes in the tip jar.
All right, here's another one.
All right, good.
Don't define James McCann by his career batting average. The New York Mets and other teams are, and we'll see if this turns out to be right or wrong, they're basing McCann on what he's done the last 2 years. Now, that may turn out to be a bad decision. We'll find out. But I think it's too easy in trying to make your point by saying, 250 hitter. It's like what you've done with Trevor May's career ERA. And also, it's December 10th. You can't define the offseason by the first 2 or 3 moves they've made. You can't do that. It's being unfair. And I'm going to be very, very fair, right or wrong. I'm going to be fair. Look, if the Mets don't end up with a big-time free agent, I'm going to rip Steve Cohen.
I don't think there's any way that happens. I really don't.
Okay.
I would be shocked if the Mets get shut out of free agency.
I agree.
And by the way, you're with me on that 100.
Of course I am, but that's my point.
100.
But that's the point. Our last caller thinks he's some kind of fraud. He's some kind of liar. Trust me, he didn't spend a few billion dollars to make jokes on Twitter. He's having fun with this. There's no doubt about that. He's having fun. He's having a good time. But he will back it up.
Yeah, I think ultimately he will. But like I said, you got to live in the moment. And in the moment, it's getting a little too cute for some people. Now, I still think he's got the mass of sheep still following him. And I'll tell you what.
Am I a sheep?
Well, yes. In this regard, you are.
How am I a sheep?
I'm glad you asked that question. That's a very important question that needs to be answered. Much like yesterday, when you admitted, after watching The Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
You went into the bathroom.
Yes.
You put your... You tucked your penis down,
yes.
You crossed your legs,
yeah.
And you put your arms up and wanted to see how Evan Roberts looks like a woman.
Okay. I'm an honest guy.
Just like Buffalo Bill did.
Don't you appreciate that?
I appreciate the honesty. Here's why you are exhibiting
Show me.
Redheaded sheep behavior.
Show me.
You ready?
Yep.
Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
at some point in the day, you'll be in the Roberts station wagon driving from your home about an hour out to Citi Field.
Yeah.
There's no game going on in Citi Field. There's no event happening at Citi Field. You will have your four-year-old for sure in the car.
No doubt.
Maybe little man will be in there, too. Maybe your wife will be riding shotgun.
Do you know little man's name yet, by the way?
Spence.
Very good.
You guys will all be in the station wagon, the whole Roberts family. You might even have the in-laws in the car.
Yeah.
And you're going to drive out to Citi Field. And there's going to be traffic when you get out there. You're going to be a little traffic. You're going to consider buying a hubcap. You're going to be sitting on 160th for so long. All right?
Right.
And you're going to wait in line. And there's going to be people out there with signs, make it right, two lanes, make it right. And you're going to wait in a line even longer.
Mm-hmm.
And about after an hour and a half of waiting in line, and you might even once in a blue moon say a curse out loud, they gave me a 15-minute window. Why isn't my bobblehead ready? And you're going to wait in the line. And then they're going to come to you with four brown rectangular little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And inside those boxes are going to be the Pete Alonso Rookie of the Year bobblehead and the back-to-back Cy Young DeGrom bobblehead.
Yes.
Right?
I don't see a problem yet. But
and
okay.
You're going to be so excited. You're going to want to open them right away.
Okay.
But there's going to be somebody behind you. Honk, 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 bah, 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 bah. And you're going to pull over to the side, but they're not going to let you pull over in the parking lot because that'd be too nice to let you examine the bobbleheads. Now, you told us yesterday, you drive.
Yes.
You don't sit shotgun.
That's right.
So you're going to be driving, got kids in the car. You're not going to be opening the box while you're driving. So there's a chance your wife's going to open the box while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to keep looking over. Let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see it. Right? And then you're going to tell her, that one, don't open that one. That goes in my office. That's mine.
Right.
Right? And that's how you're being a sheep.
Because I want my bobblehead, I'm a sheep.
Because you're driving.
Because I love
and
my
spending
Jacob.
4 hours out of your day
first of all,
to get a bobblehead doll from the franchise that won't send it to you.
You put that whole thing on steroids.
Bah.
I'm not going to sit in traffic. It's not going to be 4 hours. I'm not going to open the box while I'm driving or make my wife open the box. I want my bobblehead.
Hold on.
I'm just going on a little trip.
Let me ask you this.
No biggie.
Is your wife, and I use this term with not the full meaning of it.
Okay.
Is your wife allowed to open the box while
she's
you're driving?
To open the box.
Is she, though?
Yeah, but she would love
can
to.
Can Jet open up the bobblehead box?
I don't know about Jet. Because
rip the head off?
He'll rip the whole thing off.
Yeah, that's why you're a sheep.
That doesn't make me a sheep. It makes me know what I want and go get what I want.
Yeah, a bobblehead at Citi Field.
Yeah.
Yeah, in December. With COVID.
I've got a room where I've got all these nice bobbleheads with the teams I root for.
Yeah.
And I've got a few Jakes. I got a few Jakes. And I would love that back-to-backer. What the heck is wrong with that?
Nothing.
I'm a man who wants my bobblehead.
That's how you went online. You went on the Met website. I bet you did.
Well, yeah.
Logged into your account. Do. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Your account's probably... Password's probably Timo Perez or something like that.
Why would I ever have it as Timo Perez?
I don't know. And you log in, you go, okay, honey, listen, there's only 6 available slots Saturday.
Do I talk like that?
I'm exaggerating.
Oh, you're okay, fine. You're exaggerating.
Honey, listen, we're going to go to Citi Field. It's going to be a family day trip. There's only 6 available 15-minute slots for us to make sure that we get the bobblehead because we're only doing it this Saturday and then next Saturday. And it's a limited amount of space and time. So do you want to go from 11 to 11:15, 1:45 to 2 is available, or we can get the early bird special and go from 7:45 to 8. And your wife at some point.
Yes.
And I can't wait to spend time with her.
To ask her questions
about
this.
At some point, your wife, in Spanish, says to her parents, "Oy vey." There's no doubt about it. No doubt.
You're so wrong on every level.
Some guy wanted to ask our top favorite New York-born rappers.
Jay-Z from Brooklyn.
Well, yes, okay. Jay-Z from Brooklyn.
Well, I gave you one.
I put it out there today. It's an impossible task. You can't. But you could
There's
give
a
me
a lot of great rappers from New York.
Yeah, I mean, too many. Right? You couldn't do just 4. Even if you by borough, maybe. But as I learned...
Well, hold on a second. No, that's the easy way out. Do you think we could just break down great presidents by four? Yet we did.
Yeah.
And we still do it.
Yeah. Mount Rushmore, you can't.
These aren't supposed to be that easy.
Well, you can't do the four greatest rappers from New York.
Why not?
Because you can't.
That's the point of a Mount Rushmore. It's stuff like if I ask Lou Gower, four greatest professional wrestlers of all time. Of course, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
Going to be like, much
do I put
doable.
Flair there? Do I put Hogan? What about Taker? He wouldn't be able to do it.
Much more doable, though.
No, it's not. There's much a lot of great pro wrestlers. You'd have to impact all different eras. Do you use Stone Cold Steve Austin? What about Bruno? What about The Rock? Do you go current? Is John Cena there? Like, watch Loogie. Loogie, what's your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers? Go. He's not paying attention. Loogie!
My jack doesn't work, so I can't hear you.
Oh.
No worries.
Austin, Rock, Hogan.
Austin, Rock, Flair. Hogan, and who?
And who?
Rock, Austin, Flair, Hogan.
See, he's wrong. I mean, it's a nice try, but he's wrong. Go.
There's some guy that calls himself Bad Dave.
Well, he's Dave and he's bad.
Like, if you have to give yourself the name Bad, you're a loser. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't like me. He's making gambling jokes at my expense because that's nice to do. Mock an addiction. Feel free. I'm an open book. Yes, I am a compulsive gambler. Let me see what Bad Dave, who follows me, by the way. I always find those people to be the most fascinating. You know, the ones that hate us or me and yet follow and listen to every second of every show. The awful gambler has a big mouth. Okay, Bad Dave. Maybe if he picked a few winners, he would have gotten Uncle Stevie to follow him. He's a dope with a big mouth and couldn't pick a winner if it were sitting in his nostril. Well, number one, I had no problem with sports gambling. That wasn't my affliction or addiction.
Weird tweet.
Yes. Number two, it was blackjack, admittedly. Yes.
By the way, Craig, about this topic.
Bad Dave just trying to make a nose-picking joke, you tool.
Something very serious about. I actually thought of you last night. I'm being serious here, no joke. I'm watching, and I don't mean to put the show on blast, but I'm really into the show called Superstore. And you're in my head because they did a thing where they were betting on which employee was going to quit.
Sure.
And one of the workers says, look, I don't want to bet because, you know, I've gone too far before.
Yep.
And, of course, he ends up making a bet, and he goes crazy, wanting to bet on all the people quitting.
Sure, sure.
And I thought of something you said a few weeks ago. It was interesting. I really thought about this the entire show. They made light of it. Like, it was a joke about this guy clearly having a problem gambling.
Yeah.
And I said, would they ever do this with alcohol?
No.
Would they ever do it with drugs? And it really had me, I couldn't enjoy the episode. Because it was on my mind the entire time. Boy, that really, you make a good point that it is treated in such a different way. When the truth is, it's an addiction.
Listen, gambling addiction's real. I can speak to it, you know, first person. I am one. I'm an addict when it comes to gambling. Now, I probably, before I got educated on it, might have said the same thing. You know, it's like I always say, why does the word degenerate come before, you know, a gambling addiction, but out in front of being a drug addict or an alcoholic? And people don't view gambling addiction the way we view other addictions. And that's okay by me. You know, I think me being open and honest about my story, and to be, I want to be clear, you know, I didn't go to prison because I had a gambling problem. My gambling problem led to me making other bad decisions with money that then led to me breaking the law, and I went to prison for it. So I never want to think that I'm saying out here, oh, I'm an addicted gambler, and I didn't get in trouble for gambling legally from the law. I got in trouble because I allowed my desire and my need to gamble to cloud other decisions I was making in my life, professionally, personally, financially.
Doesn't that happen with other addictions too?
It does happen. You know, guys that are trying to chase a high, guys that who need liquor to get through a night. And I've met all these people in my travels over the last couple years, and I'm never going to run away from the fact that I'm an addict. Now, I personally don't have a problem. I could have a beer. I'm not currently drinking, but I could have a beer. I'm okay, and I think I could handle that. But I can't play a scratch-off. I can't play the lottery. I can't make a $10 bet on a football game. Now, were any of those my specific problem? None of them were. But it's all gambling. And it's gambling that's the addiction. For me, it was blackjack. Now, but it's gambling that's the addiction. Blackjack was the method in which I became addicted to gambling. But I want to be clear about that. Like, you know, I have a sense of humor about it. And you guys want to bust my balls on gambling? It's for the rest of my life, I'm going to get my balls busted from people who want to take shots at me for being a gambling addict. And I'm good with it. I'm very thick-skinned and have a sense of humor about it. Now, it's serious. I don't expect everyone to believe my story. I don't expect everyone to feel sorry for me. I hope that over the course of time, you at least respect the fact that I'm honest about it, that I'm open about it, and that I'm helping other people, which is, you know, part of my life plan going forward and has been ordered by the court, frankly, that I spend a minimum of 150 hours of community service towards responsible gambling. And I'm really proud of the fact that I'll say it now, January 9th, we are starting a show called Hello, My Name is Craig, which is the name of the podcast I had for a very short amount of time. And that's how you introduce yourself at a GA meeting. And starting January 9th, Saturday mornings at 9:30, I'll be hosting a responsible gambling show and a show about addiction. It'll start with gambling. I'm sure it'll spread to other addictions. And I'm thrilled that 1-800-GAMBLER is partnering with us on that. A number of other gambling-related rehab centers are going to be partnering with us. But I'm thrilled that Danny and the gang at 1-800-GAMBLER have already signed up, and they're going to partner, and they're going to bring their expertise into it. I'll tell the stories of gambling and the way my addiction manifested itself in the bad decisions I made, which became criminal. They're the experts. They're the ones that are going to walk us through what's going on inside our noggin that makes us irrational and leads to an addiction. You know, but you also do have to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes. And I believe I can do that. Like, you know, the dopey thing that happened up in Boston last week, for all those of you that think I'm really sensitive, I'm not sensitive at all. I reacted to that thing last week because a guy asked me, who I have no connection to, if I had sex with my wife in prison. Tell me a married man that wouldn't be offended by that specific question if your guy asking you the question is someone you don't know and never met. Now, did I overreact to it? Maybe I did. I don't know. You could be the judge of that. But that's what it was. It's not that I'm a wussy, as people are calling me, or thin-skinned. Did you have sex with your wife in prison? That's an offensive question when you're being asked to go there for some other reason. And that's why I reacted to it. So we maybe could end that story. Mm. And if you want to continue talking about it, as of this minute, I'm done with that story. But that's just to clear the air on that. As a husband, I was offended by that question. Yes, I was. And I'd like to meet the man that wouldn't be, when brought to you by a guy that you don't know, when you're doing them a favor, et cetera. From a gambling standpoint, look, you know, I got a problem, man. I'm not happy about it. I'm no longer ashamed of it because I'm taking ownership of it. And I'm willing to tell the story of being on helicopters before shows, of having my mortgage on the table in front of me on a hand of blackjack, you know, of gambling as much as I could possibly gamble in a 24-hour period. And it became, I was sick. And I didn't recognize that I was sick. And I'm telling you now, if you're going through it, there are people out there that can help you. If you have a loved one going through it, there are people that can help. It's not all Shangri-La. It ain't. Some of it is. Listen, when you if you can afford a $100 bet on a football game and you win, yeah, it's awesome. Mm. Trust me. I get it. It's awesome. I try to avoid talking about money because the amount of money I was wagering is beyond the scope of anything rational. So if I told you that, you know, maybe I'll put up on Twitter, I have a copy of a 7-minute span. I'll tell you this one story, and I promise I'll move on. I apologize. You brought it up, so I do appreciate the soapbox to talk about it. And I think I may have said this on the air before. I walked into a casino. I started playing blackjack. I think it was 2:55 in the morning was my first hand, and my last hand was 3:02 in the morning. That is 7 minutes. I drove an hour and a half to a casino in the Poconos to play blackjack for 7 minutes, okay? I was betting $30,000 every turn. Two hands, $15,000 a hand, okay? That's not normal. It's not right. It's sick. And when I look back on it, with clarity now, and with, frankly, honesty and no ego, it's sick. It's disgusting. It's nothing to be proud of. And that's why I don't mention the amounts of money frequently, because I don't want to glorify it.
Right.
It's sick. And I look back on the things I did and how I hid them and the lies I told and the decisions I made, all in the name of, I need to gamble more. Dude, we were in Italy on a family vacation, just me and my wife and another couple, a rare getaway, right? And I remember being in the bathroom in Italy playing blackjack on my phone. It's messed up. Like, I'm in Italy. It's the most gorgeous place in the world. And I'm staring at a phone in the bathroom playing blackjack. You know, and I would have denied a million times on a million Bibles if you had accused me of having a problem. F you. You don't know what you're talking about. And right. I said that more often than I need to, you know. So I look back on all those days now and nights and the amount of hours I spent worrying about gambling and trying to figure out how I could turn a vacation into gambling or a weekend into gambling or a night into gambling. Everything was focused around that. And for those of you that are living it right now, I will tell you this right now. Don't be what I was, an egomaniac, unwilling to ask somebody just to listen and to talk and to figure it out. You got a problem. Maybe you have a son with a problem, a dad with a problem, an uncle. I've gotten a million emails from people. It's not always them with the problem. It's a loved one. And all I'll say to you is it can become all-consuming. It can become overwhelming. It can lead to depression. Gambling addicts have the highest rate of suicide of any addiction that we know of. I was there. I almost jumped off a ski lift in British Columbia, not even knowing or being willing to admit that I had a problem, and that's how bad it got. And grace of God and good friends and loving family, I'm even physically here today. Forget about being on the radio. Like, this is gravy. This is gravy. This is a blessing beyond blessing. I was going to jump off a chairlift. You know, that's real. That's serious. So make fun. Have your jokes. Good. But there are people out there that my story, hopefully, fingers crossed, will help. And if you're one of those people or a family member of one of those people, you got my email. I've given it out. It's craig.carton@entercom.com. Use it. I will connect you within 24 hours to somebody that can help. I've already done it, and I will do it for the rest of my life.
Everything you said is why it jumped out at me last night. Because normally I would look at somebody who's just gambling a lot on a comedy show and say, it's funny. And it was the first time where I thought of you and I thought of other people who've had that issue and said, and I'm not trying to tell a TV show, don't be funny. You be funny however the hell you want. But it really made me think the entire episode. Like, we don't mock other problems like this. And it was interesting. And it was because of you. I was thinking about
it. You know,
it,
the other problem important. We mock, and I live this too, and it's weird. It's why I think I get it.
What else?
You know, I have children with Tourette's.
Mm-hmm.
Tourette's is a neurological disorder, and I have Tourette's, very mild case of it as well. But, you know, two of my kids have it, which is why we started a foundation to help kids and created this amazing mouthpiece that gets rid of the tics, right? Tourette's is made fun of in every place where you go. TV, movies, everywhere. People make fun of people with Tourette's, stuttering, cursing, that kind of stuff, which is a very rare part of the disorder. It's made fun of. So I'm used to it. So, yeah, so I guess, this guy, like, what's his name? Tough Al, what did I say his name was?
Bad Dave.
Oh, Bad Dave.
Bad Dave.
Bad Dave, you're right, buddy. I couldn't pick a winner out of my nose. You're right, kid. You're right. You got me.
Gotcha.
So have fun. Listen, I get it. Have fun at my expense all you want. But for those of you out there that I can help or my story can help, just know that I will never lie about it ever again. I'm open book about it. I'm honest about it. And to the extent that I can connect you or someone you love to a group that can help you, my thanks to 1-800-GAMBLER. Hopefully you look forward to the show January 9th that we're going to do. And I'm looking forward to that part of my life. I'm looking forward to being positive. Looking forward to making a positive change in the world and using my mistakes, because I want to be clear about it. My mistakes, every one of them self-inflicted. Nobody ever held a gun to my head and made me do a damn thing I didn't want to do. So hopefully that'll resonate with you at some level. And I appreciate you bringing it up. It's okay to laugh, though. It's okay. If you find something funny, laugh. It's all right. I get it. You don't have to.
I think I think it was more, it was the first time I'd encountered
And I appreciate your friendship and the fact that you know, you reacted emotionally to it out of my regard for me and my family. I get it. But it's okay to laugh also. Right? That's okay. 877-337-6666. I appreciate the opportunity to share that. And I will say one last thing about it. When I came back, and I was gone for 3 years, new company. I never worked for Entercom. And David Field and Susan Larkin and Chris Olivero and Mark Chernoff, they told me the day I agreed to come back, as much as you want to use that platform to do what I just did, you have our blessing to do it. And I'm very appreciative of that and the fact that we're going to do this weekly show on Saturdays starting January 9th. So that's going to be pretty cool, too. All right, let's get back to the fun.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Yeah, yeah, 347, Carton and Roberts on The Fan. Big Mac's having a good day today. He's trying hard. I rule the world. Love you, baby. All boys and girls, I love you, baby. What are you doing, Evan?
I'm getting my ones ready for any cliche, I say.
Yeah. You've missed the jar with both of them so far.
I'll get it in.
All right.
I just like to be prepared.
That's what she said.
Anyway. I like to be prepared. You know, we have this sports cliche jar. If I happen to say one, which I don't usually say, I just want to be prepared.
Are the pretzels coming, Tommy? What's up with the pretzels?
Yeah, I spoke to the guy yesterday. He said he was coming, but we haven't heard from him since.
Maybe your traffic or something.
For sure.
Yeah, Long Island. There's always traffic in Long Island. I'll tell you that. Here's Mark in Palisades. Mark, as the New York Mets made a trade today, they got a Rule 5 guy from
Cleveland.
From Cleveland.
And then they sold it to Pittsburgh.
And then they sold it to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So they made a couple bucks today. So, again, the investment already paying off for Stevie. Marky, what do you got today, buddy? Mark.
Craigie.
Hey, what's good,
Craigie,
kid? Yeah.
Listen, welcome back, man. And I got to tell you, listening to you talk last few minutes about your situation, what you went through, you may have helped some people just today, and that's important. And kudos to management for recognizing and encouraging it. However, I got to tell you, you shook down Evan for a couple bucks there a couple minutes ago. You have Bob Costas on. The king of cliches. He lays out 20 easy. You don't say one word. What's with that?
Yeah, Evan, what is with that?
Oh, you're putting that on me?
Yeah, you're supposed to be the cliche cop.
No, Craigie, that's on you.
Thank you, Mark.
Come on now.
You're right. You know, you know what? It's funny. I love Bob. And,
yeah, great.
Throughout the second part of the interview,
yes,
I have to be honest.
Yes.
I was distracted.
By what?
By the exercise breathing.
You started to notice it?
I started picking up on the sound of the treadmill and the breathing, and then I got totally distracted by it.
What a lame
excuse. He's really good with his words, isn't he? I mean, every word was perfect.
Oh, he knows everything.
He's a brilliant orator.
Bob Costas knows more amazing words than anybody else. That's the reality. That's the truth.
Great talking to you guys. Continue the good work. Thanks so much.
I was just so happy that Costas, because this does mean a lot to me, means a lot to my soul, that he is still, hey, I don't want the universal DH. Because I do feel at times I'm on my own island. I feel lonely. I feel like I'm Tom Hanks in that movie.
Come on, Evan. You know the movie.
Where he talks to the soccer ball.
Wilson. It's a volleyball.
Wilson.
It's not a soccer ball. Wilson! Wilson!
What's the name of that movie?
Come on.
Castaway.
My man.
There you go.
You got this.
A nice movie reference.
Great movie, by the way.
No, it is. And I feel like I'm Tom Hanks. So it's nice to hear Bob Costas say, hey, pal, put his arm around me over the phone and say, I'm with you, kid.
I can't believe you went DH right out of the gate.
It means a lot to me.
I know it does. And I think it does to Bob, too.
That's why I brought it up.
And I guess it is topical. It'd be like saying, you know, does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't care about that anymore. Look, the truth is, something Bob said that I've actually accepted is that I know the reality is the future of baseball is the DH is going to be universal. I just like to go down with a fight, you know?
Sure.
I don't like just accepting my fate saying, oh, gee, golly, I can't fight anymore. No. And you know what I really don't like? And Beringo used to do this. It would tick me off. And a lot of people do it. You'd probably do the same thing. Who's kidding who?
Go ahead.
Where their answer on the DH is, well, it benefits the Mets, so give me the DH. That is the most short-sighted garbage I've ever heard. And I know a lot of people do it. Have an opinion, have a belief in something, and stick with it.
Listen, you either like it or you don't like it conceptually. as a baseball fan, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's how it's viewed. But listen, there is a selfishness to fans, and if you think in the moment it's going to help my team or hurt my team or whatever the case may be.
I'm not doing that.
No, but that is human nature. Hey, if there were a DH in the National League, would it benefit the Mets?
It does.
Right.
But Craig,
that's why you might have more Met fans willing to say.
But would you agree?
Put it in.
I'm one of the biggest Met fans you know. I'm crazy. I'm diehard. I don't miss an inning. I love this team. They are my number one. As much as I love the Jets, as much as I love the Nets, and you'll see that in the next few days, this is my number one. And yet I put the integrity of the game above my own personal interest.
Look at this. See, that's why I said you're an old head.
That's right.
An OG.
Proud of myself.
You are. You're a old soul when it comes to baseball.
By the way, I believe that when you throw the baseball card box at me, you should not warn me. Because
Because I'm going to hit the microphone.
Well, I think once you pick it up, that'll be my warning. But no, like, all right, you ready? One, two, three. So once you pick it up, I'll be prepared. But I shouldn't have too much time because I want to see if my reaction.
I don't think we should test your reflexes with a 20-pound box.
Why not?
Because I think it could hurt you.
Oh, you're afraid you're going to hurt me?
That's the way you want it.
Oh, you said.
I am afraid of hurting you.
All right, he's getting the box. That's pretty much.
I'd say it's about a 5-pound box.
All right, I'm ready.
Well, you're ready.
I'm not ready.
No, you better not be ready. See, but you want me to just throw it at you?
Yeah.
All right. Is that camera working today?
Yes.
I want to make sure that camera is on, Evan. And if you guys can make it a little bit of a wider shot so we can get all the peripheral area into that.
Because remember, I've got to move the microphone as the box is coming at me to prepare to catch it.
Or not.
Well, then it's going to hit the microphone and then like break my iPad or something.
Or not.
All right.
I mean, that's up to your reflex.
I'm ready.
Your reflex abilities.
I got some reflex abilities.
It's been by maybe the most athletic week you've had in 14 years at FAM.
I wouldn't say 14 years. I used to ride my bike to work every day, pal. 15 miles a day.
And weren't good at that. You got hit by a taxi cab.
Well, first of all.
Right? How good were you riding your bike? You got hit by a car.
How about this? Maybe it was the taxi's fault.
Unlikely.
Maybe it wasn't my fault.
Where were you driving the bike, by the way? Middle of the road?
Here's the interesting story.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
Sure, the taxi didn't come up on the sidewalk and foobar you.
So,
you're like a lot of bikers in New York City. Being a little douchey. Cutting in and out. Oh, I'm on a bike. Look out for me.
You know what's interesting about this? I don't call in sick. Obviously, we're in a different age, so maybe I would call in sick with COVID, but I got laryngitis in the middle of the show. Lost my voice to the point where Chernoff said, you got to go home. You can't even talk on the radio.
The audience doesn't like it.
Okay. So I went home.
Meanwhile, the audience was like,
they're excited. So the next day, I can't come in. I have no voice, but I feel fine. So I tell my wife, I'm going to go out for a bike ride. I'm going to bike the Citi Field. I've got tickets I need to return. There were some unused tickets.
Everything is somehow.
I'm telling you.
And you asked why you're a sheep.
Wait a second. So I'm biking. So you ask where was I? I was in Queens. I was biking to Citi Field to return these tickets. And that's when I got hit by the taxi.
You were biking to Citi Field.
From where I used to live in Queens.
What was the... I mean, you're only going local roads.
I was only going local roads.
Oh, you lived in Queens.
I lived in Queens.
Okay.
I was going from where I used to live in LIC to Citi Field, about 8 miles, you know, nothing crazy. And I think I was crossing, I'm trying to remember
all
the street.
All local your back channel?
Well, where I got hit was not a back channel. I was crossing a major road and I got hit on a major
fault.
Road. I don't know if
did
it was
the guy
my
run
fault.
A red light?
I don't remember. I got hit. I fell on my head. I don't remember.
Are you lucky to be alive?
Very lucky to. If I didn't, let this be a PSA and I'm no jokes. If I wasn't wearing it.
I got it.
I caught it. I wasn't even looking, baby. As I'm doing a PSA, really? As I'm about to say something really poetic, really?
It scared you.
Of course it scared me. I was about can I finish my thoughts?
Yeah, finish. We just threw the box of cards at Evan.
Yeah.
And it startled him, but he did catch it.
Thank you.
Now, how long will it take Izzo to put that up on the thing today?
Jeez, that's scary.
Post-show, can we get that up quickly? I want to see what it looked like in slow motion.
It better be up within 10 minutes.
Done.
No excuse.
I finished your quick PSA. Tell him. Go ahead.
If I wasn't wearing a helmet, I'd be dead.
Legit.
No, 100%, because you know, you drive, did I flip over? I don't really know because I don't remember, but I do know that I ended up on the back of my head when people came to see if I was okay. And by the way, how great are people? I can't tell you how many people came over to make sure the guy in the middle of the road was okay, and I appreciate that. But if I wasn't wearing a helmet, I'd be dead.
Did anybody start talking Met baseball with you?
No. There was no Met baseball talk.
What's the last thing you remember pre-hit.
Waiting for the light to turn green.
Oh, so you really lost time.
Yeah, I lost.
Legit.
Yeah, I really don't remember.
You don't remember impact?
No. I don't.
Did you see the cab, like, peripherally?
I saw it after the fact, because he stopped. I mean, in all due respect to the taxi, it's not like he ran away. He stopped and was apologizing.
Right.
Even though it probably was my fault. I always say that. I don't know.
If it wasn't your fault, you wouldn't be working here. You'd probably have Steve Cohen money, and you'd be down in, like, Libya on a compound with 12 kids watching Met games on your satellite.
You know, let me tell you, because I was told by a few people, hey, you should look into a lawsuit. And I said, well, I can't sue anybody. I don't know if I did. And I was always honest. I said, I could have been the person who did something wrong. I don't know. I'm not going to sue somebody. And I never did for that reason, because I was like, what the hell am I suing? There's a chance I did it. I don't remember.
You probably
did. I'm serious, when you bike, you have to wear a, especially if you're on a motorcycle. Let's not even start that. You got to wear a helmet.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.